Well, I'm Lisa Gilfillan. I am celebrating my Jubilee year. I'm 50 this year. Yeah. I've been with the Lord since I was 17 years old, and I went to a meeting where I was going to expose a faith healer, and I ended up getting saved that night and becoming a Christian. So my newspaper article did not go that well. It was not really very thrilling. And I lost my best friend that night because she said, "Lisa, you're losing all objectivity." And I said, "Yeah, I am. I'm becoming a Christian." And I went to the University of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's actually called the University of Michigan Ann Arbor, but it's close. And while I was there, the Lord redirected my life. I was in training to be a doctor. I wasn't in med school yet, but I was in pre-med and a lot of internships and everything. And the Lord said, "You're going to be a missionary and a minister." I said, "Oh, no, I don't want to be that crazy, you know, on soapboxes and standing on little blue stools in front of people. That's not going to be my life." But it has been. And when I was in my 20s, I got ordained. This was very unusual. Women weren't ordained that much in the 80s. And usually you were married when you were ordained. So you were Mr. and Mrs. I had no Mr. No Mr. And no hope of a Mr. You'll hear a little bit more about that today. But from 1983, when I got ordained, onward, the Lord really had me working as a minister and a missionary. And by the grace of God, our mission work is called Good Shepherd Ministries International. We do curriculum in the languages of the people. So we train people in their own nations, in Bible school, in a woman's curriculum, in a youth program. We have a community development project that helps people to find clean water and treat malaria and things like that. We have a business school that will be opening up in October. We do everything we can to train the body of Christ to be stronger. And that's my life. That's my mission. That's the fun that I get to have. And this church, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, has been helping us since the very beginning. Since the very beginning, Pastors Jim and Debbie, along with Barbara Harwith, who had to be our accountant, helped us start in the 80s up until today. So as the Rock has grown, Good Shepherd has grown also. And I'm very grateful and very blessed. I'm also very down to earth. Every time I try to act holy, the Lord just doesn't let me get away with it. I have to tell you the truth about myself. I remember one time I was preaching and I wanted to make it sound like I was a little more spiritual than I really am. And I could feel the Holy Spirit say, mm-mm-mm. See, I'm from Detroit, so sometimes he says Motown sort of things to me. Mm-mm-mm. R-E-S-P-A-C-T, you know, that kind of thing. The Lord will just, I'll be like, okay, I feel good, you know, that type of thing. And he said, if you start acting more spiritual, then you're more spiritual than you are, the anointing's going to lift off of you. So I said, oosh, I don't want that. Okay. So I'm going to behave, and I'm going to behave today. But what I want to talk to you about is God's generosity to us. Okay? I know that in hard times, what the devil tries to do is he tries to get you to believe that the Lord doesn't care about you and that he doesn't love you. And I want to kick that lie right in the teeth today. If you begin to come under that deception, you won't see all the goodness and the greatness of God. You won't see how much he's worked behind the scenes for our good. So today's message is God's generosity to us, how the Lord works behind the scenes for our good. He's amazing. One of Satan's biggest lies is that God doesn't love us and help us. The reason that Satan says this is so that then he can get you in a position where you want to follow him rather than God. Because who wants to have a boss who's mean? I know many of us do have bosses who are mean or have had bosses who are mean, but we don't really like it, do we? And so Satan comes to you when you're having problems and he says, "Oh, things would be so much easier if you weren't a Christian. Remember when you weren't a Christian and everything was honky-dory? Nothing ever went wrong and you only remember the good times. You forget all of the nights you cried yourself to sleep. All of the times you lay in bed at night saying, I wonder what the purpose of my life is. But Satan is very clever. He's not more clever than the Lord, obviously. But he's older than us. He is even older than me. I mean, and that's pretty ancient. Okay? And this is what he does. The thief, that's Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But this is what Jesus said. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That is the word of the Lord. Not the word of Satan who says, oh, you don't have much. The Lord doesn't really love you. You're having some trouble right now. That means you're not loved. I love you. I'll take care of you. No, he'll kill you in a minute. But he says that the Lord is not good. And I want to kick that in the teeth today. Satan may lie to you, but the word of God will set you free. Number one, God wants our good all the time. Not part of the time. Not only when you're behaving. God wants your good even when you're not doing everything properly before him. See, Satan also lies to you. Well, you're not perfect before God, so he's never going to bless you. Well, none of us would ever be blessed then. Because I don't know about you, but I have not turned into Jesus yet. Sometimes in the morning when I have a full beard, I look more like him. But after I've shaved, the resemblance is gone. Again, I'm sure none of you women who are around my age ever have that experience, but there are times when hair is showing up in spots of the body that it never was there was before. And we have to take care of it. But in Deuteronomy 6:24, I love the message. I think that he often hits the real meaning and thrust of what God was trying to say. And he says this, that's why God commanded us to follow all these rules, so that we would live reverently before God, our God, as he gives us this good life, keeping us alive for a long time to come. That's God's perfect will for us, that we have a good life and that he keeps us alive for a long time to come. Now, some people, I've heard people say, I don't want to get old. I say, what? What are you talking about? Now, I don't think this world is better than heaven. Don't get me wrong. But I want to get as many people into heaven as I can. And I need some time. When I got saved in 1978, long, long ago, when dinosaurs still ruled the earth, I thought that Jesus was going to come any day. And I remember praying and saying, please, give me just a little bit of time to do some work for you. Well, it's 2010. And I've said to people, I wouldn't have gone so hard if I thought I was going to be here so long. But see, God is very smart. He's very, very wise. And he hadn't told me, and still hasn't told me, when he will return so that I can work hard every day. But God wants our good all the time. If Satan has told you otherwise, you're listening to a lie. And I won't do it. I won't give Satan the credit anymore. Okay? Now, Romans 8:27 says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. This is Jesus that the author of Romans is referring to, Paul. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. When I think of Jesus praying for me, it gives me a lot of comfort. And when I know that he's actually directing the intercession both of himself and of the saints of the world, because the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, is inspiring us to pray, I feel a lot of comfort. And I again am reminded that God wants our good all the time. Where's my friend Elma? Where's Elma Murphy? Where are you? Wave. Stand up. Elma. Stand up for a minute. Elma's got two sons in the military. You can sit down. Elma, I haven't told you this story yet completely. So we may be bawling here in a moment, but Hopefully not. Hopefully the Lord will help me keep my composure. Elma's got two sons in the military. And I was over at Oak Valley, I don't know if it was a year and a half ago. I honestly don't remember the time. And she came up to me and said, please pray. Both of my sons are in the military, and they're in very difficult situations. So I prayed, and I kept a little bit in contact with Elma. We've emailed occasionally. But one day, I was in my car, my famous Honda Pilot, quite a classy thing. Not. And I was driving past the Panera Bread on Redlands Boulevard. That place is like Mecca to me. I can smell the fresh-baked bread, those soups, those salads. But I wasn't going there to eat. I was really just on my way home. But as I got there, and I smelled that aroma, instead of concentrating on the food, which is the normal Italian thing to do, I got a prompting to pray for Elma's sons. And I got a huge prompting. So much so that I had to stop my car by Panera Bread. Don't worry, I didn't go in. And I had to pray. And this is what happened, guys. As I prayed, I saw one of her sons in a firefight. I could see his unit, and I could see a lot of men going down. Now, I had never met her son before. I didn't know what he looked like. But because I was praying for Elma's sons, I thought, this is one of Elma's sons. And almost everybody seemed to get killed. I mean, it was horrible. I was interceding. I was calling on God. I was doing everything I knew to do, binding the devil, asking God to loose his angels. You know, I could feel I was in an emergency. And this man turned around. And, you know, the guys now, they have so much gear on. You know, they've got those microphones and everything. But when the guy turned around, again, this is an open vision. I saw him clearly. And it like zoom, emblazoned on my brain, you know. Okay, this is who I was praying for. But he was still alive. I didn't want to contact Elma. But Elma contacted me shortly after and said that her son had been in a very bad firefight. And that had everyone else died, or almost everyone? Pardon? 19 soldiers. Okay. I didn't even tell her then because, you know, she's a mom with a son on the battlefield. But her son came back, and he had his daughter dedicated to the Lord here at the Rock. And Pastor Mike and Pastor Sue were dedicating. And even Pastor Deborah got in on it. Everybody was just... But when I walked, they asked me to come, and I was thrilled to be there and see. And when I walked into the room, I could see her two sons. Remember, I'd never met them. But I looked at the one that I had in my vision, and I went to him and I said, were you the one in the firefight that was very bad? And he looked down and he said, yeah. I could recognize him. I knew who he was because Jesus forever makes intercession. And he calls on us to make intercession for others. I try so hard. I'm not always perfect, but if I get an inkling to pray for somebody, I say, Father, it's more important than my Panera Bread. It's more important than me getting to the bathroom right now. It's more important than my hair and makeup, though heaven knows we really need it now at this stage. But to think, now Elma came to me and asked me to make sure to pray for her son again. And I just want to take a moment and ask God to keep him safe. Her son, that one is at Fort Irwin, right? Yeah, the one who was in that horrible firefight is now at Fort Irwin. But her other son, yeah, the 20-year-old, what is his name again? Raymond. I was going to say Roberto, I'm so sorry. Raymond is in the heart of it right now, and he's only got 4 months left. I know some of you have dear ones in the military. Raise your hands. We're going to pray for all of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that Jesus lives forever to make intercession for us. And as part of his body, we live to make intercession for others and show your goodness in this land. We pray for Raymond. We pray for every other man and woman represented here. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you send your angels to watch over them, that you protect them, that you inspire other brothers and sisters to pray, that you give them wisdom, discerning of spirits, discernment in tricky situations, and that you keep them safe under the shadow of your wing, in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't tell you how much that has inspired me. And I couldn't even talk to Elma about it, okay, because I thought, oh, this is just too crazy. And the people at our office, we have 7 prayer meetings a week at Good Shepherd. I had one other vision by Panera Bread, and they're like, it must be the fumes, you know. I said, guys, you know, I don't normally have visions. I don't. But in both of these instances, it was in a time when I was in a period before God where I was really seeking him, okay? And I just want to encourage you. Jesus is praying for you. Your pastors are praying for you. There are other people around the world who are praying for you. God wants your good all the time. He hasn't done anything to let you down. All right, I'm just pushing this point really hard because some of you are not really sure of it. Number 2, the Lord continually is looking for ways to bless us. Continually. Now, those of us who have children and grandchildren, I don't have any grandchildren yet, and I better not because none of my kids are married. I tell them, you do everything in the proper order, but, you know, I'll love no matter what. But those of us who have kids and grandkids, we want to see them blessed, don't we? I see a little thing for one of my daughters. I buy it if I have the money. I pray for my kids all the time. I'll pray for them at very weird hours of the day and night. Sometimes I'll find out why. Sometimes I don't need to know because the Lord wants me to preserve my sanity. You know, the Lord is good all the time. But I continually am trying to find ways to bless those I love. The Lord is much better than we are. The Lord is much more loving. Deuteronomy 28:1-7. Now, this is what Pastor Jim's always praying and pronouncing over us. And I love it. I always lift up my hands and take every blessing I can get. I'm greedy that way. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Yeah, even San Bernardino. Even Colton. Even Los Angeles. Even parts of Louisiana. Even Nigeria, even Somalia, blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways. Does this look like the words of a God who wants to punish you, restrict you, confine you, keep you in your place as humans? This is a God who loves you so much that he gave his only son to die for your sins. He wants your good continually, and he's always looking for ways to bless us. Okay, he wants to bless you in all areas of your life. He wants to bless you in marriage. I'm just going to show you this scripture. This is when Abraham's servant went to get Isaac a bride. This is Genesis 12. I don't have the right, I think it's Genesis 12. Okay, good. Well, no, go back. You're right. I don't have the right scripture, ascription there, but I think it's in Genesis 12. Anyway, although it might be Genesis, I'm not sure. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Now, many of you are seeking a mate or you're praying for a mate for your children, or your grandchildren. This is the extent to which the Lord will go to get you somebody or to get them somebody. He's amazing. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink, Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. I bring all of this up because sometimes people think that the Lord's not interested in who they marry, or who their children marry, or who their friends marry. The Lord will go to this extreme to get the right spouse. Now, this all looks beautiful. Here, the girl was a virgin. She'd known no man. She was a hard worker. She even told Abraham's servant that she would water the camels too. Abraham's servant was thrilled. Isaac was thrilled because she was a real babe. That's really a big deal with men. And you'd think that this, you know, look at the extent that God went, everything would be perfect. Do you remember that Rebecca also was kind of into idols? Rebecca also helped her son steal firstborn birthright. Rebecca wasn't a perfect woman. And some of you, you prayed for your husband for so long. He's so fine. He was so nice. All the women wanted him. Now you're married to him. He's not as fine. He's certainly not as nice. But still, a lot of women want him. What I'm saying is, even though that the Lord wants to continually bless you, and he does make provision to get you what you need, that's not the end of the story. That's what's so cool about the Bible. It goes on and on and on. So you can see generations. And you know, it's not just the end of the story. Those fairy tale romances where, and they lived happily ever after and you close the book. That's just because people couldn't tell the truth. They didn't want to terrify young boys and girls. They wanted them to still marry, to still be fruitful and multiply and populate the earth. If you told them the truth, even at four, they would say, I'm not getting married. But then as they got to be teenagers, their sexual urges would propel them onward. You know, literally, that's how it works. That's how it works. Let's be honest. No, God wants to bless you. And he will bless you. He'll go to extraordinary lengths to set you up. But then you've got to work through all of the human element of the blessing. Oh, I counsel so many people. I can't say counsel because that's not what my master's is in. My master's is in international organization, so I know how to organize people. You, stay married. You, stop having an affair. You get a job, you lazy bum. I'm just... Boom, 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 boom. Oh, well, can you see why I've never been a senior pastor? All the sheep would be dead, and I'd be like, what's the problem with this church? They're all dying. It's okay. But sometimes people think that the Lord doesn't want to bless them because after they've received their initial blessing, everything doesn't go perfectly. That's the way it is. You're not perfect. Your husband's not perfect. Your children aren't perfect. Your dog's not perfect. Don't stick your pit bull on me. He ain't perfect. That's just the way of life. Okay? But God will go to extraordinary lengths to bless you. He'll do it to help you have children. Next verse. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. That's always a good response to God. You kidding me, Lord? And said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Ooh, yes. Because the Lord continually seeks to bless us, he will birth children in us, and he will birth new vision, new ministries, new businesses, new works, even in our old age. All right? Some of you, maybe might be 1 or 2 years younger than myself, and you feel like you're getting old. I don't see anybody older than myself, definitely, in here. I am one of the dinosaurs on the earth. But you might be thinking that you don't have a purpose anymore, and the Lord wants to say, are you kidding me? I gave Sarah a child when she was 90. You want the same? No, I am. I've been reading some stories about women in their late 60s. I'm like, whoa, this is getting darn right scary. No, but I mean, if you really needed one, he could do it. He's God. But he will continually bless you. If you haven't had a child yet, he can open up your womb. I know, I love Pat Harrison. That's Kenneth Hagin's daughter. That woman is so led by the Holy Spirit, but she's tough. And years ago, she was praying for Janet Conley, Bayless Conley's wife, who was barren. She'd even stopped having her periods and everything. And Pat started praying for her, and all of a sudden, Pat got her fist up and punched Janet, boom, right in the abdomen. Yeah, she's tough, let me tell you. She's not worried about lawsuits either. She knows God will protect her. And from that moment, Janet started having her menstrual cycle again. She conceived her first child, and that's why he's called Harrison, for Pat Harrison. Yeah. That's how it works. That must be for someone who wants a kid. You can have any kids. I didn't have two, because I had three. That's enough. That's fine. God also wants to bless you continually in your finances. But that's, you've got to do some work. Remember I said God wants to do the initial blessing, but you've also got to work it out? Guess what? Sometimes you have to initially do something, and then God provides the blessing. Oh boy, that's not as fun, is it? You like it when God blesses you. Not so much when you got to do something. I know, I'm the same way. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. I like it that he uses his military name, the Lord of hosts. He knows that there's a war out for your finances. But the Lord of hosts also tells you how to get them. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Oh, I like that. I can't wait to fully get into that one. Not enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. This is the truth. Even though God is good all the time, he sometimes requires man's cooperation and intervention. That's his business. Let's not ask him why. Let's do it and not die. And the last one is, the Lord wants to bless you continually in any ministry or any kind of work that you have, secular or religious. Let's go to Esther. Now, this is the thing. Everybody loves Esther. Everybody wants to be like Esther. Esther was a sex slave. Can we really think about this here? Today we have so much about human trafficking, which is good. We don't want human trafficking. We want it to end on the earth. But Esther was a sex slave. She did not voluntarily go to the king's house except that she was obedient when the men came to get her. She was not like, I'm on going on the bachelorette and getting me a man, you know. All right? This is not Allie, this is Esther. I don't know what you guys are thinking. She was a sex slave. She had to be there. She had to get all these beauty treatments. He went into her. She just happened to please him more than the other girls pleased him. Ick. Black. It was a harem. It was a brothel. Ugh. Wasn't cool. But she withstood it because she knew that God would bless her if she was obedient to him. And in those days, that's what she had to endure. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. But she was a sex slave. I'm not saying that people who are sex slaves shouldn't try to get free. And we shouldn't try to rescue them, of course. But in that day and age, sexual slavery was kind of the norm. The king got what the king wanted. Oh, thankfully, we have a precious king, Jesus, who doesn't want to abuse us, who doesn't want to put us down, who doesn't force us to do things. If anybody could force us to do things, it would be the God of the universe. But he's so gentle. He's so kind. He's so comforting that he doesn't even force us to serve him, though it's for our good, though we're idiots if we don't, though we would be stupid not to repent. He doesn't force us. If you've had men or women in your lives who forced you to do things that made you feel dirty, unclean, that hurt you, that abused you, I just want to tell you that this king is different. Jesus is different than King Ahasuerus. Esther had to please him. We didn't have to please God for him to come into our lives. We just had to invite him. Even while we were sinners, he still loved us. Even when we were doing all kinds of things that were completely opposite to his will, he sought to redeem us. He sought to bless us continually. That's our God. And some of you have thought God is the same type of person as your abusive father, or that cousin, or that uncle, or that wicked neighbor. But that's not our God. Our God is a God who, even though he has all control, restrains himself so that we can have a real relationship with him. And as a free will decision, we can choose to serve him. I think that's amazing. And for those of you who are also concerned about the problem of evil, if there's a God, why is there evil in the world? That's why. Because God gave us free will. And we can freely be evil. It's not God's desire. It's not God's will. It's just he didn't want to make robots. He wanted to make people that he could love and nourish, that he could bring up, that he could put his image onto, and he could invest us with creativity and power and joy and strength. Not that we would act like this. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. No. He let us be who we really are. Only someone who knows his own strength could do that. Okay, and number three, his generosity compels us to be good to others. Now, there's a problem that sometimes occurs in Christianity. I heard Anne Rice, the author of the vampire novels, say that she wanted to quit Christianity, but she didn't want to quit Jesus. Okay, and I really examined her statement carefully. And I understood where she was coming from. Because in her mind, for the past 10 years as she's been a Christian, she's met a lot of Christians who are just anti. And they are anti some things that are wrong before God. But we don't have to be anti-people. We don't have to be anti-humanity. We don't have to be anti-love. And so she saw some people probably who get a little bit too boisterous about the purity of others when they're not necessarily so pure themselves. Okay? Tonight I'm going to be speaking about how to deal with bad-tempered people. And the first thing we're going to be talking about is looking in the mirror and changing ourselves. Because every time I get in my high horse about somebody who's not a Christian and what they're doing, the Lord says to me, by the way, I really don't like this or that. I'm like, what? Excuse me. I am having a sitting in judgment time. Why is the Lord of hosts revealing my own sin? This is an inappropriate time. For some reason, it's not with the Almighty. He is Lord and there is no other. We can get very condemnatory. And yet, I came to Jesus because I heard that he died on the cross for my sins, that he loved me enough to give himself so I wouldn't have to go to hell. I didn't come because he pointed out all my sins. But I will have to tell you that as I heard the gospel that first night when I was 17, my sins were coming before my eyes. I was thinking, that lie nailed Jesus to the cross. Oops, my stealing caused him to die. Oops, my arrogance made him suffer. I was seeing that. But what was drawing me was the love of God, which leads men to repentance. I said, I'm so filthy, and he still seeks to deliver me. And because of that, we have to be good to others. Because God's generosity is so great to us, we have to be examples of that greatness and generosity to others. Matthew 18, 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down on his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. This is Jesus telling the story. This isn't Lisa. Now, I'm Italian. Got a little mafia in my background. I know how to torture. I married a very classy guy who didn't know anything about cement. My mother told him, we don't believe in divorce, only murder. We've been married for 25 years. Yeah, my mom actually told him that. Whew. Fortunately, that was in the engagement period where he thought I could do no wrong. He didn't know me yet. And, you know, he thought, oh, I never want to divorce that Lisa. She's so wonderful. But he did get warning from God, because the Lord is gracious. And when the Lord told him to marry me, he did say these words, do not be afraid to take Lisa for your wife. That should have clued him. Even men of God can be a little bit funny sometimes when they fall in love. He didn't realize everything he was getting into, but he knew God's goodness and mercy would get him through. Look, we've been forgiven a lot. And I know that people can be so rotten and so annoying and so frustrating and so hypersensitive. But we've been rotten and frustrating and annoying and hypersensitive ourselves. Or at least I have. Maybe none of you have been. Maybe you sisters, many of whom were born and raised in California with the sunshine, just have lived lives of sweetness and light, sweetness and light. And people like me, growing up in Detroit, knew how to fight. Knew only concrete. Sometimes above ground, sometimes in lakes. When we had deliveries and drop-offs. You know, maybe you're just a lot holier than I am. It's all possible. Or maybe we're quite a bit alike. because we're all human. And today there might be someone you're having such a hard time forgiving. He or she hurt you so much, and you'd like to throw them into prison and keep them there till they shape up or die, and you're hoping they die because the problem will be solved faster. But the Lord is saying, I've forgiven you a great debt, over 10,000 talents. You can forgive the 100 denarii offense. Last scripture. Pastor Eleanor and I were talking about this yesterday. The Lord has been talking to me about this so much. It keeps coming up in my prayer time. It keeps coming up in my Bible reading. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. God's generosity to us is enormous. He wants our good all the time. He's constantly thinking of ways of blessing us. But because of that, he expects us to be that generous and blessing to others. When you are, your life is so free. Sometimes I get mad at people and the Lord says, don't judge another man's servant. He's my servant. She's my servant. And it's freeing to me. It's like, whew. Because, you know, I'm not a Supreme Court judge. Maybe some of you are in this room, but I don't have to actually have that as my work program. I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm a child of God. I'm a sister to my brothers and sisters around the world. That's what I am. And I don't have to sit in judgment all the time. I can pray about what's wrong, and I do. But I don't have to be pointing out everybody's sins because, let's face it, we all kind of know when we're doing wrong. And if you're here today and you haven't yet had a relationship with Jesus or you let yourself drift away from him, I want to give you a chance and an opportunity to come back. I want to tell you that the Lord's love and generosity is for you today. He's not doesn't have this big scorecard where he says, oh my goodness, she did it again. She slipped away from me. She started sinning. Nor does he say, oh my goodness, that woman's not a Christian. I hardly have any non-Christians on the earth. No. The plain truth of the matter is most of the people on the globe right now are really not serving God. Can you imagine being the perfect father and having such rotten kids? I was complaining to the Lord one time about my three kids because I'd had a really hard day. And my kids are pretty good. I really am blessed. Okay. But this one day I just had it. I said, Lord, these three kids that you've given me. And he said, Lisa, I have 6.5 billion of you. I'm like, oh, okay. You've got the worst situation. I agree. But you're God, so you're better equipped. If you want to get closer to God, if you've realized that you're not right with him, I want to pray with you. I want to explain first that the only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are not many ways to heaven. If there were, Jesus wouldn't have to die and rise again. Okay? He wouldn't have had to go through all that misery. Jesus died on the cross, and he took every sin that you and I have ever committed. And then by the grace of God alone, he was resurrected after 3 days. And now he is Lord of lords and King of kings, has power over all creation. And he is simply extending his hand saying, I want to be your friend, your savior, but also your boss. Do you want to come to me? If that's anybody here, either wanting to come the first time or wanting to come back, just slip up your hand. Nobody's going to be mad at you or sit in judgment of you. I just want you to have that opportunity. Is there anybody here? I'm asking you to do it in front of everyone because Jesus says that if we will confess him before men, he'll confess us before the Father in heaven. So is there anybody here you need to come back to God or you need to come to God for the first time? Okay, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And it's going to be a prayer for everybody because all of us can try to have a little more lordship of Jesus in our lives, right? Let's just repeat this after me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I know There's no other way to heaven and to a good life on earth without confessing Jesus. I acknowledge Jesus has died for my sins. I put him on that cross. I acknowledge Jesus rose again. I acknowledge Jesus is Lord of Lords. Right now, I ask that you take my life and you better it. You clean it up. You improve it. You make it one that's glorifying to you. I also ask that you give me joy in life. That you give me fun as I serve you on this journey. I know you love me. Help me to love you better. Help me to love others more. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you were backslidden, or you'd been away from the Lord and you need to come back, I just want you to come to one of the pastors, one of the table leaders, myself, and just say, I did that today. Just make that confession before all. Many of you already raised your hands and you confessed that Jesus is Lord in your life. But we can help you to take the next steps, and that's what we want to do. Now tonight, as I said, I'll be ministering on how to deal with bad-tempered people. Being a bad-tempered person, I know this intimately. I'm going to tell you how to deal with me. Any of you who've got porcupine people, come on out, because we're going to teach you how to live with the porcupines. And Pastor Eleanor or Pastor Sue, anybody who's supposed to come up? Or should we just release them to their table talk? What should we do? We should just release them? You are released to your tabletop discussions. Thank you so much.